Lately, I've found the most creative satisfaction simply from talking, from doing episodes like this, or having conversations with people, but this is more of a creative project for me, which is weird. It's weird that talking, that simply talking into a mic and saving a file is a creative project, because when I think of creativity, I think of art, I think of music, I think of making a, I don't know, something that's designed that requires some sort of skill. And I don't know that this show really requires skill. It's just putting words to thoughts. And there's a performance aspect. You know, I don't act this way when I'm just hanging out. I think I would be completely unbearable if I were like this all the time. And that's always a strange thing. When you know somebody who is a performer of some kind, you don't want them to act like that performer all the time. And sometimes when you see them perform, you think, that's not who they really are. Who do they think they are? You know, if you've ever had a friend who is a musician and you see them on stage, a part of you might think, you know, that's not really them. There's kind of a persona there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having a persona. And I think sometimes that's what allows you to do what you do, because it gives you some detachment from who you are when you're just brushing your teeth or doing whatever it is you do at home. So having a little bit of a persona isn't a bad thing, but when you carry that persona into your personal life, it makes things a little strange. But I always like to use the example of pro wrestling, because that's a great example of persona. The pro wrestlers, they develop their persona, and it's larger than life, it's cartoonish. But that persona goes on to influence their day-to-day life. When you see interviews with pro wrestlers when they're out of the ring, when they're backstage, they carry a large part of that persona with them, and it becomes this chicken or the egg argument where, did the persona come from something real? Did that come from a real part of that guy's personality? Or did pretending to be this character all the time, did that then influence their personality? You know, and it's probably a little of both. Their persona is probably based somewhat on some characteristic they have or want to have. And in turn, it gets influenced even more by what they do in the ring and what they do on stage. So everything sort of feeds into itself. But it's strange, because I consider this show a form of creative performance. And it sort of pains me that I occasionally make political commentary. Not that I dig too far into one particular way of thinking or another. Not that I actually try to convince anybody to have a particular political opinion. Because I feel like if I come across on this show like I'm leaning one way or another politically, it could just as well be because I'm compensating for what I actually feel, so I'm leaning more in another direction so that I don't come across as biased, so that I don't come across as a mouthpiece. Or if I do come across like I'm leaning, it might be that I actually do lean that way. But I prefer to keep it ambiguous, because it's ambiguous even to me. As I've said before, you know, sometimes my opinions change from one way to another on any given day. I feel like my political and social beliefs are omnidirectional. Omnidirectional, however you say that. And so I don't want to set a certain stance if I'm going to regret it later, maybe even later that day. And but with this show, you know, I have this desire to talk a lot lately. I have this desire to be on air. I'm like one of those radio psychos who's just on air all day. And those guys, they end up talking about current events. They end up talking about politics, celebrities, because that's what you talk about. If you don't, you can't just pull everything from your own brain all day. You can't just talk about your past all day. So if you want to actually do a show, what you end up having to do is comment on things that are going on in the world that people care about, things that you notice. It can't all be esoteric. It can't all be obscure. And it's strange, because this show doesn't have a huge following. I wouldn't even know how to promote it. we're in this age of podcasts, which is great. I love it. I've always had a desire to have sort of a pirate radio show. I loved the movie Pump Up the Volume growing up, and I always had a fantasy of having a show like that. And in some ways, this show is that. This is that fantasy. But a part of me would love to have more listeners. A part of me would love to have some sort of avenue where I could promote this show, because I have gotten mostly good feedback. I think people tend to like this show until they listen to it enough to realize that it's not going to get any better. it's not going to, I don't even know. I have no idea what people actually think of it. But we are in this age of podcasts, and podcasts are one of the more popular mediums. And I wonder how long that's going to go on, because it's very simple. And I think the reason podcasts are so popular is because they've taken something very simple, and it's been around forever now. It's essentially radio, but it's just easier to access. You can listen to it in your own time. You can access it from any device. So it's just radio made easier, radio made more free. And that's why they're popular. But I do wonder when the bubble is going to burst. Because even some of the podcasts I listen to, they're quite popular. They get millions of plays. I feel like I listen to a good range of podcasts, from ones that are extremely popular, among the most popular podcasts, to ones that just have a very small niche following. But in either case, I do feel that there's a lot of redundancy. And what's going on in these podcasts is much more interesting than what I'm going to find on the news or even a show like Bill Maher. I used to love the Bill Maher show, and I used to admire Bill Maher in many ways when I was younger. During the Bush era, I watched every episode. And I don't know if it's just me getting older, my taste changing, or if it's him changing his show, the world we live in, but I find Bill Maher extremely difficult to watch these days. And thinking back to the Bush era, a lot of his jokes were, "This guy's so dumb. He did this today. Oh, these people," he had that way of talking even back then. But I feel like there was more range to his show. I feel like there was more range to his humor. I feel like he covered a broader spectrum, that he had a little more, something more unique to offer than what he has now, which is just, "Can you believe what Trump did? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Can you believe what he did? What are we going to do?" And then you throw in a little bit of climate change terror in there, and that's pretty much what you're going to get from every episode. "What are the Democrats going to do? Oh, did you hear what he did? Did you hear what he did?" It's pretty much every Bill Maher episode now. And like I said, I don't know if it's really that much different from what he's always done, or if I just have less tolerance for that same old thing now. But one thing that I think influenced me, something that Bill Maher does that influenced me, is his set of new rules and the way he takes these kind of goofy, jokey lists of things, and then he wraps it all up with this really cutting point at the end. And I always liked the way he did that. I feel like it's always been the best part of the show. And he still does it well, even if I don't think it's as poignant as it could be, or maybe as he used to be, or maybe as I used to find it. Maybe it's not him that's changed, but me as a listener. But I always loved the way he managed to just really go from humor to something that just cuts right to the bone. And he always said it in the most powerful way. Harsh. It was something harsh but entertaining. Harsh but melodic, But I think that's all going away. I mean, even his show has been made obsolete, and I believe in large part due to podcasts. The format of his show just isn't what it used to be compared to these more freeform shows. But I even find podcasts are becoming pretty redundant. You see a lot of the same topics rehashed. You see a lot of the same guests. I mean, it's funny to me that you'll see the same guest pop through different podcasts in the same network in the span of a couple weeks, and they have basically the same conversation. But that said, I can't complain, because that's what's so easy to do. It's so easy to complain especially about things that are given to you for free. And I think that's the most incredible thing about this world of podcasts that's developed over the last decade, is in virtually all cases, you are listening to this for free. It is free radio in every sense of the word, not just because you aren't paying, but there's no censorship. They can say what they want, when they want. They can talk to who they want. So it's free in every sense of that word. Yet you see tons of complaints. If you read any comments section about anything online, you'll see mostly toxic negativity. But you'll even see it from fans. There are people who listen to every episode of a podcast and criticize it. And they just can't help but harp on those faults. And that seems to be something we do. When something is plentiful, we tend to criticize it or find fault with it, get bored with it. And I do that myself. I do that myself with many things. You take things for granted. And so in that way, maybe I'm glad that I don't have a larger following. Maybe I'm glad that I don't have a real fan base at all for doing this. It's just sort of that pirate radio. I'm just like Happy Harry in Pump Up the Volume talking to kids in my high school. And that would be ideal. Every night's a school night. All I'm talking to is a bunch of adults who still feel like they're in high school. That's the ideal for me. But I do wonder, you know, what that experience is like to actually have an audience and to have fans. This sounds really pathetic. It sounds really sad. I don't intend it to be. I don't intend this to be to sound so pitiful. Because I see, you know, fan bases develop. And as big of a fan as I am of even, let's just use the example of podcasts, but we could be talking about being a fan of anything. Of music, of bands, of directors. He's my favorite director. But we could be talking about anything. But since this episode so far is kind of podcast-centric, let's talk about podcasts. You know, you look at something like Tom Segura's podcast. You know, one of my favorite comedians for sure. And I listen to every podcast they do. And let me just, as a side note, what's strange is a lot of these podcasts aren't even really podcasts anymore. They're just TV shows on, because they have a visual component. They're on YouTube. They have a true studio setting, and they often have video clips. They really are just a talk show, you know, that's just not on TV. So it's funny that we still call these things podcasts when they've gone so far beyond that. Joe Rogan's show is another example. A lot of these popular comedians really are just doing talk shows at this point. Calling them podcasts because they started out that way. But looking at Tom Segura's show, you know, there's the their fans are called mommies. And if you look around the internet, you'll see basically anything that Tom Segura and his wife talk about gets targeted by their fan base. And if you look at the comments section, it's just a flood of inside jokes related to the show. And I think it's great when a show has a lot of inside jokes. I mean, that's one of the reasons you keep going back, especially to a podcast that's funny, is it has its own lexicon. Not even a funny podcast. Virtually any podcast that's worth listening to is going to develop its own lexicon, its own little nuances, its own little inside jokes. And that show, the Tom Segura one, is an excellent example of that. But it's weird how the fan base then ends up just going around all of the internet, and I've even heard they do it at their shows where they just shout out inside jokes from the show. And as a performer, that's probably good. That's probably job security because people have become invested in these inside jokes. And as listeners, they feel like they have an inside joke with you as the performer, and they're somehow a part of it. Even though they're just a fan, they're not friends of these comedians, they feel like they are a part of it. Because that's so much of what people want out of life. They want to feel included. They want to feel like they are a part of what's going on, especially if it's something that involves fame of some kind, of some sort of status. Even if you're simply an audience member, you can say, I was there. I was a part of that. People do it with music, with bands too. If a live performance is recorded, If video is shot of a band playing and somebody was in the audience, they can tell their grandchildren, I was there. I was right there. See that hand? That's me. Because we like to feel like we're a part of things. But I do find it kind of off-putting when fans just become these weird robots repeating what's said on the show. They do that everywhere. And I wonder how these performers really feel about it when someone's just shouting an inside joke back at them that they created. It might feel good. I mean, it probably feels good to know that people care enough. And I know there's other podcasts. There's one I don't listen to, but I'm aware of it. It's The Murderer Show. It's the one with the women who talk about serial killers. And I know that their fans have a name. It's like with Jimmy Buffett. It's like parrot heads. You know, fans develop names and people are proud to say, I'm a parrot head. Well, me, I'm a parrot head. Speaking as a parrot head, it makes people feel like they belong to something. They love something enough to have an identity based on that. And I've talked plenty about identity. I feel a little strange doing this episode. It's a very meta topic, a podcast talking about podcasts, a podcast talking about audiences. But it's something I'm aware of. It's something I'm very aware of. And as I said, I've turned into one of these psycho radio jockeys who just needs to talk all day. And that's why I've been talking politics, because, you know, you just end up going there. It's so easy to talk about that stuff. But I do feel that I can't just talk about being pee-shy and early 1960s doo-wop all the time. It's hard to just focus on a niche like that. And I do find myself wanting to comment more on what's going on in the world without trying to save the world. Because that's one of the issues that I've started to have with shows like Bill Maher's, is every episode feels like he's trying to save the world somehow. It happens with a lot of podcasts as well. I like things to be an exploration. I like to see ideas explored. I like to see thoughts fleshed out or not fleshed out. I don't mind rough drafts. I don't even mind pre-writes, verbal pre-writes. Because in many ways, I see this show as just that, as some sort of rough draft for something that I want to do later. And that's why no matter how self-conscious I am, no matter how much I think an episode I do is just a stuttering, stammering mess, and some more than others, I still feel that it's worth just hitting save, not worrying about it, not editing it down, not writing it out beforehand. There's something about just doing it, warts and all, as they say. There's something about just putting it down with this show in particular. But I do feel like this might be a rough draft for something else I want to do later. And I don't know whether that will be a podcast. I don't know whether it will be this sort of format. It would probably be something performance-based, but real. So at this point in time, I can't see anything else aside from a podcast fitting that role. But we also don't know what's coming down the line. I have no idea what's coming down the line. And for this show, for right now, I don't mind that these are often just stream of consciousness, rough drafts, and the ideas that are important will stay with me or come back to me, or I'll be able to reference this if I want to pull from them. But I currently see this show as a way to get ideas down, to explore ideas, both what I've thought about in advance before I turn the mic on. This mic actually doesn't have an on and off button, so it's on all the time. That's why I do so many episodes these days, because the mic just can't be turned off. You got to unplug the mixer. You know, even though I think about some of these ideas before, I'll be on a walk, I'll be on a run, and some ideas will come to me, both my own ideas, and I do think, oh, that's an idea for the podcast, because nothing exists in a vacuum. It's hard to really differentiate between interesting ideas that I think would be interesting on their own, and ideas for the podcast. Naturally, the things I think about are going to end up on here, and it's hard to differentiate them. But I also don't want to feel like I'm seeking out ideas. And the show would probably be better off in some ways if I did walk around with a little notebook and actually try to seek out some ideas outside of my own skull. But for now, this is simply what it is. And maybe it's a good idea to do little fireside chats about the podcast or about my ideas on technology and shows themselves and what I get out of shows, what I get out of podcasts. Because I think it has been revolutionary. Because I don't like the dividers between things. I don't like the way things are sectioned off, like in a bookstore. And I think what podcasts have done is they've knocked down many of those dividers. And you see a nice cross-section of ideas under one banner in the span of one show. It's not just, we're going to talk about this today with this person who's an expert in that or who wrote this book. You see a lot of ideas bleeding into each other. And I've seen how certain disciplines influence other disciplines in your life. That's something big that I was able to take from podcasts, simply as a listener. And I don't see doing a podcast, I don't see doing my own podcast as a discipline itself. It's actually more of an exercise in impulsivity. I have a lot of disciplines in my life right now, and this is one of the few activities that I feel like is truly just impulsive. And that's why I'm just willing to hit record and let it be what it is. It's very rare that I feel, I don't know, I can't think of a single example where I've edited something out. I've, you know, hit the stop button and then hit it again once or twice. But in general, these are just free-flowing. In the history of this show, there have been very few stops, almost no edits. It's just, it is what it is. And as you can probably tell from me rambling right now, this isn't one that's going this isn't one that I'm going to feel completely proud of. This isn't one where I'm going to feel like I really blew an idea wide open. But it's interesting to me that more people aren't doing this, because I think it is a good exercise to pursue personally. Even if you just did it on your own, even if you just did it on your own, you didn't tell anybody about it, you didn't promote it, and I don't promote this show. I post it on my own social media accounts, and I would like for it to reach a slightly larger audience. I would like, but I don't even know what that audience would be, or you know, I've been involved in very obscure music and art, dark and obscure music and art. And outside of my own personal life, that's really all I've ever done that could give me any kind of platform. And I don't think this show would appeal to people necessarily who are interested in those dark forms of music and art. I don't think that there's anything that would necessarily make those people a fan or have a need to listen to something like this. And I'm not really in a position where I can even promote it through that. I'm not in a position where I even have that platform. So they're really, it's just simply doing it and hoping a few people listen. But as I was saying, I think it would be a good exercise for people to do this, to put their thoughts to words. And, you know, it's painful to listen to yourself. It's always been painful for me to listen back to myself. On one hand, I enjoy talking, and I don't hate my own voice. I feel like I've done some work to give myself a certain radio voice, my own form of radio voice. And as a kid, I always sort of fantasized about doing voiceovers or being a voice actor in addition to doing this sort of pirate radio. But listening back to yourself is always going to be a painful experience, because you know where those warts are. While each episode might have a certain number of warts on their own, you're going to see the warts within the warts. You're going to know where the warts are underneath the skin that nobody else can see. And that's why it can be painful to listen to yourself. But it's a good experience. It's good to know what you sound like. Even though it's completely subjective, it's good to know what you sound like. And I usually listen back to each episode about once. about once. That's about all I can stomach. I'll listen back once just to make sure the sound worked out, to make sure there's nothing in it that I absolutely don't want people to hear, that I didn't say something absolutely horrible that's going to ruin my future. I try to listen back once just for that, just a basic quality control check. And if an episode, though, doesn't really compute with me, if I feel like it was a little half-baked, I might listen to it one more time a couple days later, once I've had some distance from it, to see how it kind of fleshed out. But beyond that, I can't just sit there listening to my own show. And it's probably good. It's probably to my credit. It's probably one of the few few non-narcissistic things I do at this point, is not listen to my show too many times, just once or twice. But part of that, though, is also to improve. You know, like I said, there's a certain element of performance in this, and you do want to hear yourself because then you can know what not to do. Because so much of improvement is knowing what not to do. Knowing what not to do, something you noticed you fucked up somehow. You did something you really didn't like, so you note that so you don't do it again. But so often the things that you improve on, the breakthroughs, are things that you can't plan. They're things that you can't schedule. So if you listen back to yourself, you know, just as an act of self-critique to try to improve what you do, it's very rare that you can listen back and be like, well, if I add in a this, it's going to make things great. It's more often, if I take this out, it'll be better. And in doing that, in taking elements out, you free up space for those breakthroughs, for things that you might actually find, enhance whatever it is you do. But, you know, here we are, it's 2019. As much as you hear about virtual reality and changes in technology, I do feel like simple is going to be the way of the future. I think that podcasts might become redundant. I think the limitations of doing this are going to become more and more apparent, especially when you have the same people doing them over and over again. And I think this show is a great example. This show is filled with redundancy. But I also don't think that this format itself is going anywhere. I think there's going to be an evolution in the way that people express themselves on here. I think there might be an evolution in who even expresses themselves on here. I think we might see an even wider range of people, or we might see podcasts become an even more important outlet for human expression, for getting points across. I mean, that's already happened. That's already the trajectory. But I think we might see some changes, and I think as things change, as the world changes, I would like to see myself push this in a slightly more refined direction. And by that, I don't mean professional. By that, I don't mean that I'm going to censor myself. I think I would just like to do something with what I consider to be rough drafts. I would like to build this toward a more cohesive, larger picture. And what that is, I don't know. I have no clue what that is going to be, but I'm going to set my brain there and see where this all goes. But in the meantime, I think I'm just going to try to stay active. I'm going to try to put these down, not be self-conscious about it, and just express whatever it is that this needs to express, because I don't even know. I don't even know why I need to do this.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills complaints. I see a land where children can run free. So take